The Andy Caldwell Radio Show. Andy is a government watchdog, business and traditional values advocate, and on this show, he interviews leaders and scholars on a variety of local, state, and national issues. Online worldwide, but heard right here. This is the Andy Caldwell Show.
I'd like to welcome you back to the show, and I'd like to welcome a returning guest, Robert Kiyosaki. He's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he's a founder of a financial education-based company, author of two books, co-author with none other than Donald Trump. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. I want to talk with you a little bit about your brand new book, and then I want to talk with you about the Donald and what your thoughts are of him as...
Who doesn't want to talk about the Donald?
Right. Well, let's talk about your newest book, Eight Lessons in Military Leadership for Entrepreneurs.
Right. I went to military school. I had appointments, congressional appointments to Naval Academy and the Merchant Marine Academy. And I took the Merchant Marine Academy. And when I graduated in 69, I had a high-paying job not too far from me with Standard Oil of California. And as you know, if you're in the oil industry, you're draft exempt. But my conscience got to me, and so I quit a very high-paying job with Standard Oil as a tanker officer and joined the U.S. Marine Corps, which proves I'm not that smart.
Well, thank you for serving our country.
Well, it was duty. And then I went to flight school and then went to Pensacola, Florida, to Camp Pendleton, California, straight to Vietnam, where I flew the helicopter gunship. And it was one of the best experiences of my life, although a horrible experience, you know. But I'm really glad I took a huge cut in pay to serve my country. So that's who I am. And that's why I wrote Eight Lessons in Military Leadership, is because I'm an entrepreneur, not because of what I learned in high school, but what I learned in the military.
How do you compare the two? Because some people would say on the surface, well, how do you become an entrepreneur in the military when you are having to follow somebody else's orders all the time?
Well, it's not about following orders. It's about how you control your emotions, your fears. You know, the reason most people don't quit their jobs, they're afraid of not having a paycheck. And so they cling to this paycheck. You know, most people would quit their jobs. Let's say I said, I'll give you $1 million a year tax-free for the rest of your life, but you have to quit your job. I think a number of people would. They really don't like what they do, but they do it because of a paycheck and because of fear, the fear of not having money. So an entrepreneur, you know, I don't have money most of the time. I'm operating with nothing, but I have to keep going, and that's what the military taught me. How do you keep going in spite of enormous fear, enormous pressure? So that's the difference. It's emotional intelligence. Some languages.
Now, one of the things that you talk about too is the issue of discipline, respect, and things like that. How does that translate into successful entrepreneurship?
Well, it has to do with who your partners are in business. You know, like when I operate with my partners in business, we're all entrepreneurs, we're all multimillionaires, but we operate via a code of honor. And when I came back from Vietnam in 73, I found out there's no code of honor in business. You know, corporate America, everybody's screwing and stabbing everybody in the back. And I kind of wonder what I fought in Vietnam for. It's horrible. So the Marine Corps or most military services teaches you the part of dignity, respect, and the code. You know, you don't violate that code. Because your code is spiritual. Your code and the mission are as high as you can get. But when I do business with non-military people, they really don't get it. So I kind of stay away from them.
Okay, now another chapter in your book has to do with leaders as role models. You know, a lot of people look at and you know, this is, I'm going to call them, you know, lefties or whatever. They look at these leaders as people who exploit the workforce and exploit their customers, and they're just greedy and blah, 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 versus somebody that the workforce and the customers can respect as a role model.
That's very well said. You know, there's crooks and scumbags and everywhere on the left and the right, as we all know. You know, even in religion, there are perverts. So it's not about the industry or you're whether you're left or right. I respect the people on the left, you know. I mean, those guys who are fighting for environmental concerns and all that, I join them. You know, I applaud them. So leadership is really not about a popularity contest, but, you know, how do you touch a fellow human being spirit? Like when I was in Vietnam, there was one mission we were flying on, and the odds of us coming back were none. You know, gunship pilots didn't last very long, and my gunner, Corporal Fraley, was a brand new father, except he had never seen his son because he was in Vietnam. And so I walked up to Corporal Fraley, and he was, you know, cleaning our machine gun, and I said, "Hey, Corporal, are you okay if your son never sees his father?" And he looked at me, and he just winked, and he says, "Yes, sir, no problem." And then if you're willing to give your life for something bigger than you, you have a better person. And that's why I wrote 8 Lessons in Military Leadership. We're taught to operate on missions and codes of honor and dignity and, you know, respect for our fellow human beings, not about rank. And that is missing in today's world.
All right. We're going to take a break. And as usual, when we have an author on the show, we feature their book at the AndyCaldwellShow.com webpage. And you can direct click to Amazon.com to get it. You don't have to remember the title or the name of the author, Robert Kiyosaki, between now and the time you get to where you're going. You're listening to The Andy Caldwell Show. We're going to be right back. And again, as I mentioned, Robert has co-authored 2 books with Donald Trump. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about his views of Donald in light of what we've been talking about, strong leadership. You're listening to The Andy Caldwell Show. Stay tuned.
Local, national, and traditional values heard right here. This is The Andy Caldwell Show.
I'd like to welcome you back to the show. My guest, Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He's the founder of a financial education-based company, co-author of 2 books with Donald Trump. We were talking about his newest book that was 8 Lessons in Military Leadership for Entrepreneurs, and now we're going to switch to the Donald. Robert, how did you come to know Donald Trump?
Well, prior to the crash of 2007, we were in 2004 and 5, we were doing these mega events. You know, we did one at Moscone Center in San Francisco and Javits Center in New York, and we just got to start to talk, you know, in between shows. And we flew to Australia together, so you get to spend a lot of time with the guy. And he's a great guy. I'm concerned about him running for office, but I'm glad he's running.
And there's a lot of people that think, okay, you can't deny that he's a strong leader, but unlike an entrepreneur, he can't lead in a vacuum of, for instance, the House, the Senate, and even the Constitution. How do you think he'll fare in that regard?
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. You know, politics is a nasty, 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 nasty game. And I think he's the best man for the job at this time. You know, like Washington, President Washington or General Washington came to power during the Revolution, and Abraham Lincoln rose to power during the Civil War. And we're in such a crisis today. And I had to ask myself, looking at both, you know, Democrats, Independents, Republicans, who is the best person for the for the job today. And I hate to say it, it's my friend, Donald Trump. You know, I mean, we are getting lacerated by Japan, China, Europe, Mexico, and all this, and we need to rebalance our trade agreements. So he's a tough man. He's a very tough man. He's a good man, though.
Now, one of the things I want to ask you about here is, for instance, job creation. And I'm not, I know you're not a spokesman for Trump or anything else like that, but some of his ideas for job creation, you just mentioned trade, have to do with him taxing companies that are sending our jobs offshore. And so if by virtue of taxation he brings the jobs back, are you not concerned about our competition in the marketplace if in fact the costs rise?
Well, the costs are rising anyway because the U.S. dollar is now the strongest currency. It's really a currency war we're in. That's why the yuan, the Chinese dropped the yen. I mean, the Chinese dropped the yuan to make their products cheaper. When they make their products cheaper, then we buy more products from them. That costs us more jobs. See, every time you shop at Walmart, you look at Walmart, Walmart is crashing today. It was Walmart crashing in the markets is horrible. But what that means is every time you shop at Walmart, two things happen. Our money goes overseas and our jobs go overseas. So we've really got to start. It's not about free trade. It's about fair trade, exactly as Donald says. And so somewhere along the line, we've got to get to an equilibrium where both countries, China, the U.S., and look at Germany, they're going to have a hard time exporting Volkswagens and Mercedes pretty soon. So really, we're in a major, major economic collapse. So I wouldn't worry too much about the future right now. I just want to survive this crash coming. Walmart is going down hard right now. I mean, it's not going to go out of business. But it's indicative of what's going on in the world today. You know, everybody likes to shop at Walmart because they get low prices. But those low prices are because of trade.
Absolutely. Now, how would you describe Donald in terms of the leadership characteristics? You've written a book about leadership for entrepreneurs and for the military. How does that apply to Donald?
Well, Donald is a hardcore entrepreneur. Do you know what I mean? He has excuse me, I'm sorry. I've got a plug in my throat. He's created jobs where Carly Fiorina is a good woman too, but she's lost jobs. I think she cost 30,000 jobs for Hewlett Packard. And you look at what's happening, like China right now has a 20% plunge in imports. It means they're not importing anymore, so they're not going to export anymore. So our real problem right now is how do we stop a global collapse of the economy? And when I look at Ben Carson, he's a very good man, very smart man, but we don't need a brain surgeon at this time. It's the same as Bernie Sanders. Donald and I agree with Bernie Sanders. He agrees that we need medical. Donald agrees we need medical. And we need better education for everybody. So it's not a matter who's right or wrong, what party you belong to. It's who can best lead the country to solve our problems, as well as deal with the rest of the world. So I'm from Hawaii, and Obama's from Hawaii. He's a nice man, but he's not a strong international leader. He has lost his credibility in the world. So when you look at all that, who's the best person? And I say, I'm worried about my friend, you know, but he is still the best man.
What do you think about Cruz?
No, I don't have much to say. I look, anybody who runs for president is nuts anyway, so I'd rather not say anything.
Because there's some people that say him and the Donald are get along together, and they could see them on the same ticket.
Well, I'm not either Republican or Democrat or independent. You know, and I think my dad, the poor dad, ran for lieutenant governor as a Republican of the state of Hawaii. The Communist Republic of Hawaii. And I saw what happened to my dad. He's a good man, but he got more backstabs in his, stabbings in his back from his friends. And, you know, throughout history, there's been, you know, in Roman times, it was Et tu, Brute, and then there was Judas who betrayed Christ and all that. It's nasty. Human beings are nasty people. Why would you want to stand up there and lead the world at this time, you know? But that's what Donald's doing. So I support him. I don't really encourage him, but I support him. And Cruz, you know, if he's a good guy, fine, you know.
Now, let me ask.
I'm just saying it's a little too radical for me, and I kind of back off.
Now, let me ask you this thing about, like, for instance, entrepreneurship. Do you have any idea how Donald could release the power of entrepreneurship? Obviously, taxes, regulations, and the cost of doing business are serious impediments.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things he could do, is like allow us to export oil. And I don't know why we can't export oil. The other thing is, why do we want to change the tax laws so guys like me can bring my money back on shore? So, you know, when people say Apple is an American company, it really isn't. It manufactures in Asia, and it keeps its money in Europe. We're not. There's no such thing as an American company today. So this idea that, you know, we should, I don't understand politics. Let us bring our money back on shore, you know, and we can do more good here. But they tax us so high, we don't bring our money back on. In the meantime, you know, our education system, you know, is scrambled. And you look at what's happening with ISIS. You know, I'm concerned about our world. And so we need a strong leader, not nice people. You know what I mean right now? It's this time, you know, Lincoln was a very unpopular man, and so was President Washington. Very few Americans supported Washington during the Revolution until he won.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, here's a hard question for you. In view of the fact that you've been his friend for a while, in view of the fact that you have a background in business, international business, education, and even oil, what's the chance of him picking you for some volunteer, well, not necessarily volunteer spot, but some spot in his administration?
Well, that's flattering, but, you know, like I said, you have to be crazy to run for office.
Oh, no, they're not running. This is an appointment. Would you turn it down?
Yes, I would turn it down. I want nothing to do
it's
with it.
It's serving your country, Robert.
I already did that once.
I mean, you could become Secretary of the Navy or something like, or Department of Interior.
Oh, God. I have enough trouble running my household. But anyway, you know, what we need are entrepreneurs, and our schools, you know, pump out employees. You know, go to school and get a job rather than go to school and create jobs. And we wonder why we have so many problems, because we have these kids coming out of school, and they're looking for jobs rather than creating jobs. So that's where I wrote my book, Eight Lessons of Military Leadership for Entrepreneurs. We have all these guys who, you know, served us as military people, and they have the basic skill set to be entrepreneurs. They just need some financial education.
Okay, let me ask you, how does that work in today's society where we're not thinking critical, teaching thinking critical skills, we're not teaching outside-the-box thinking, these kids aren't learning the principles of risk and return, they're instead learning that somebody owes them something?
That's correct. And that's why, you know, I get really hot under the collar. My rich dad was my best friend's father. He was anti-union. Okay? And my poor dad was head of the teachers' union. So I'm schizophrenic. You know, I can see both sides. And the problem with most school teachers or academics, they think money is a subject that's below their status in life. They think money is a dirty subject. And so they don't think they should teach it. Yet they never give up their paycheck, and they're the biggest labor union in America. And nothing's going to change until we get rid of the teachers' union and let their – that's why we have charter schools and all that happening. But we've got to bust up that union.
See, now I've got you pegged as Secretary of Education.
Oh, God, yeah, that would be insane. My one of my best friends is now Governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey. He had the Cold Stone Creamery. And the moment he comes into office, the head of education – and he get into this huge fight, and now he's pegged as an anti-education governor. And that's nothing further than the truth. You know, Doug Ducey is the governor of Arizona. He is so pro-education. He just doesn't like corruption. That's the difference.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it would be interesting to me to see what somebody like Donald could do, as aggressive as he is, with his own version of the pen and the phone.
What does that mean?
Executive orders. That's what Obama said. Hey, I don't need Congress. I've got a pen and a phone. I'm going to do executive orders. It'd be interesting to see. Donald's a little bit impetuous to me. I don't know him. I'm just going by what I've seen. But it'd be interesting to see what somebody on our side could do with a pen and a phone.
It would be interesting. But let me just tell you something, you know. The crisis is a crisis in leadership. And so there's two kinds of leadership. You know, there's tyranny, which was that guy Saddam Hussein. That's a they're dictators. The opposite of tyranny is anarchy. And the reason I support my friend Donald is we're right now cruising for anarchy inside our own country. That's rioting in the streets. That's food lines. And that's what I'm concerned about. So we can sit there and, you know, yada yada about the whole thing, but which of the candidates has the guts to stand up to what is coming, which is possibly anarchy?
It's downright scary. California, you could, as you know, you could see it beginning in places like California and these inner city hell holes throughout the United States.
Well, look at Hawaii. Hawaii has the highest homeless population in the states. Now, if you're going to be homeless, not a bad place to be homeless. And California has the biggest per capita poverty rate.
Yep, highest wealth. We got one third of all the welfare cases. Robert, we're out of time. Love to have you back. I always enjoy having you on the show.
Well, thanks for the questions. I appreciate your time.
Put in a good word to the Donald. Maybe we can get him on the show one of these days.
Well, he's hot property today, isn't he?
Yes. Tell him I'll pre-record to save him time, because time is money. Robert, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Andy.
Robert Kiyosaki, you're listening to The Andy Caldwell Show. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being with us today.